Hallelujah, Christ is risen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at verse 1. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise?" And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear sons and daughters of God, hallelujah, Christ is risen. The challenge in your life and my life, even as we think about what we just heard from the gospel, is that there are a lot of things in your life and my life that sound pretty good. Some of the stories people tell us about the fish they caught, some of the stuff you can buy that can solve all your problems for just $99.99. How many of you have grown to be cynics of things that sound too good to be true? Just checking. Because we know that a lot of times when things are too good to be true, they are too good to be true, right? I mean, it's only a matter of time before the other shoe drops and boom, you've got it and it's no use. And what's the use and why did we fall into that kind of a trick? There have been some clever ones, though. It's interesting. Did some looking into this. Splenda, made from sugar? No. How about Listerine? Anybody following Listerine's marketing over the years? It's really fascinating. Listerine actually said for quite some time that it helped colds and sore throats and lessened their severity. Yeah, they did. And they ended up having to, after that, have at the beginning of their commercials, quote, "Contrary to prior advertising, Listerine will not help colds or sore throats or lessen their severity." I mean, really, if that's the way a commercial starts, do you really want to listen to the rest of the commercial? I mean, what's going on next? What's going on? What's the other shoe? Well, it dropped later. And it dropped this way. They had to drop their advertisement that Listerine was as good as floss at alleviating tooth decay and gum problems. All right, so Dan and Yogurt, anybody like yogurt? They actually promoted for a time, got a complaint against the Federal Trade Commission regarding their Activa. They had to drop the claim that the yogurt reduced the likelihood of getting sick and helping with ahem, irregularity. Yeah, $45 million in damage. And then there's Reebok, the shoe that when you wore it, every step you took, exercised, you know, down below, $25 million. Yeah, you know, after a while, we start wondering and looking at things with a jaundiced eye, thinking, That's just too good to be true. Interestingly enough, guess what falls into that category? The first Easter. Yes. Yes. In fact, the word in the Greek used for idle tale is a medical term used to describe the crazy talk of people in delirium, people who are sick. That's how that was received. It's just too good to be true. The kicker is this. Sin, death, and the power of the devil have been advertising falsely, because the real truth is the truth of that first Easter when the women told the disciples, even if, quote, they did not believe them. The truth is that the good news is the good news because it is the good news. The truth is the empty cross and empty grave of Jesus doesn't need all kinds of advertising hype. It's the truth. And Easter changes everything in your life and my life. And in truth, this pivotal place of the cross and the grave actually was God's plan from eternity to change everything. So that in that now, we have a different view of the world that you and I live in, the things that we face. What Jesus did on Calvary's cross, taking upon himself our place, our problems, and then receiving the wrath of God in our place, has changed everything. And his empty grave confirms the truth that his work was fully accomplished. And the Lord would have us trust in him. That's what Easter is all about. But I think we need to have some fun with this. If we would take that word idle tale and we would turn it into our vernacular, kind of our idiomatic speaking in our culture, it would be something like, hey, guess what? The grave was empty and Jesus is nowhere to be found. The response would be say, no way, I can't believe that, right? Something like that, no way. Any other responses? Come on, participate a little bit here. Well, what would you say, it sounds too good to be true, what would you say? Fake news, okay. yeah, fake news. No way, unbelievable, I can't believe that. Yeah, the challenge in your life and my life is that it's too easy for us to look at a lot of the parts and the pieces of our life and just say, okay, I guess that's the way it is. And Easter has changed everything. So that means we have to start looking at all the parts and pieces of our life, understanding that there can be actually a different response than what we've been trained to do, especially when it comes to failure or struggle and suffering or being mistreated or dealing with fear or dealing with death. So I've been thinking about this. Now I've practiced it at a couple of services, so not to suggest that it'll be better. I'm trying here to do this well. So I think our new liturgical phrase needs to be, no way, Jesus lives. Okay, let's try that. No way, Jesus lives. Oh, just give up. You're a failure. You're a loser. Why try? It just seems like when you do things, it doesn't work so well. Huh? Amen? You know, I mean, we preach some pretty poor sermons to ourselves. We give in, give up. We just think it's a failure. And yet we need to start saying to that kind of stuff, Jesus lives. That's what Easter is about. How about challenges and difficulties? Gosh, it just takes so much work to work with him, to work with her, to work with them. Gosh, why is it so hard at work to get things done? Why does it seem like I'm going uphill with my exercise routine? Why does it seem like there's not enough cash and it just seems to be so difficult? Yeah, you're kind of saying, away with that kind of thinking. My Savior is risen and reigning, and there's more to this than just struggle and challenge. You see, Easter's changed everything. I mean, there's still struggle and challenge. We just need to learn how to speak the truth of Easter to it. You know, all of us, one way or another, maybe in all kinds of different ways, have been mistreated. And it can hurt so deeply. We can be set up only to find out they were just shucking and jiving. I don't know if you guys follow that kind of language. Just, you know, doing the angles, figuring things out, putting one over you. And it can just seem so unfair. It can seem like so impossible to do anything with. What am I going to do? I should just get even. I should just get back at him. I'll figure out how to make the score even. No way Jesus lives. That's Easter. Easter doesn't settle for ungodly ways. How about fear? Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. You want me to serve at the church? I need to talk to my kid. Isn't it amazing how fear can hold us hostage in so many different ways? It's like it becomes our God, demanding that we bow down and serve fear and then protect ourselves only to realize the fear is giving us bondage. So the next time you find yourself saying, well, I can't do this, I can't talk to them. Oh, I don't know if I should go there. Yeah, God is bigger than fear. And then there's the biggest boogeyman of them all. When death comes knocking, it can hurt so deeply. It can feel so final. It can look like it's all over. It can look like it's the end. And in those feelings, and in that reality of the grave, what can we say? No way Jesus lives. Yeah, no way Jesus lives. No way Jesus lives. So what's going on when you and I face failure? What's happening when we're seeing how challenging it is? What's going on when we're going through being mistreated? What's going on when we're in fear? What's going on when death comes a-knocking? God is at work teaching us all kinds of things. In our failures, we're learning what it means to be forgiven. We're learning what it means that God can work all things together for good, including our failure. So nice to know that He can handle it, that He is able to. And when it comes to challenges and struggles in those very places in your life and my life, God is shaping us after His own heart. He is training us in the school of godliness so that we are growing in the way that we deal with our thoughts, our words, our actions. He is training us in the spiritual gym, training us in godliness so that we live out our life not trying to earn God's favor, but knowing that we have God's favor and that God is at work in our struggles to grow us to His glory. And even in our mistreatments, we are learning what it means to share mercy. And we're also learning what it means to not follow suit. Learn what it means to seek to live a godly life, even when people hurt us. And even in our fears, God is teaching us to trust Him. To trust Him that He will bring us through whatever we're dealing with. And that the fears are simply calls for us to say our prayers. And to talk with the Lord and ask Him for help, knowing that He will not forsake us. And finally, when death comes, in death, even in death, we're learning to look beyond the end. We're learning how to look to forever. It's fascinating in our epistle reading to hear the Apostle Paul talk about the victory we have in Jesus, and that Jesus is risen and reigning. I mean, we can actually say even today, alleluia, Christ is risen and reigning. I know theologically and liturgically we're in the Easter season. That's fine. But even now, he's reigning over death. And he'll put death underneath him. And he'll have the victory for us. You know, it's fascinating to see in the season of Easter how God takes a ragtag group of fearful misfits and turns them into full of faith, courageous saints. I just love the Easter season. I love the Sundays after Easter. I mean, this is a great Sunday. Don't get me wrong. But it's so wonderful to see in the scriptures how God trains and fortifies his followers to change the world with the message of Jesus' death for sinners, his burial, his empty tomb, his ruling and reigning over the world. But it's not about them anymore. It's about you and me and what God has in store for us and what he seeks to do in us and through us. And it's about applying this Easter miracle, this good news, to the places where we're at in the struggles that we are going through. We're Easter people. We're Easter people, made so by what God has done for us through his Son. So the next time failure comes, what's the response? And when you feel yourself just going through challenges and struggles, even when we're mistreated and we're afraid, and when death comes. You know, Easter gives us a confidence to look across our life with forgiveness. Easter gives us the confidence to look across our life knowing that death isn't the end. When I was up in Montana and Van was hunting, Mom was up there being taken care of by my sister. And the day I drove back here, I said to my mom goodbye, and she said, "I hope I'll never see you again." Of course, you know, she loves her son, but she was just waiting for her promotion. In fact, she wants to be promoted. She wants to travel to the shores of forever. The sooner the better. I had to remind her, even though she's 92, her dad lived to 100. So, who knows? I mean, she may be gone today. That's her wish. That's her prayer. Isn't it amazing how even in life, we can have a confidence that looks at death unafraid, knowing that it's simply the gate we travel through on our way to what God has in store. Think about it. Now our Savior, our risen and reigning Savior, is certainly here with us, caring for us, watching over us, leading us and guiding us. He's also preparing a place for us. He says it this way, "In my Father's mansion are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go there to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you that you may be where I am." I mean, think about it. It was fun to see those beautiful, beautiful live butterflies. I mean, the stuff God makes is just amazing, including you. But we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. When we soar to worlds unknown, see God on his judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleanse for me. Let me hide myself in thee. What a gift this day is. What a truth. What a truth the empty cross and empty grave is. No need for marketing. We can just simply tell the plain truth and let God do the work. Because it's all about Easter. And Easter's out there. And Easter's at work. And Easter gives us hope and peace and joy and love. It's amazing to think that the good news was first proclaimed at a graveyard, right? By angels. It changed those ladies' lives. It changed those doubting disciples' lives as well, because that's what the truth does. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.